the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And today we are going to be talking about the game I Know You Don't.
No, wait, what game are we going to talk about?
The game is called I Know
I'm sorry,
You
I did
Don't.
It again. That's
my and there are ellipses between those statements.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. So I Know You Don't is a logical induction game. The way it works is it's a little bit like Zendo, actually, which we previously covered.
It's also a card-shedding game.
It is also a card-shedding game, yes.
for this series.
For this series, yes. So one player is designated as the rule giver, mm-hmm. Who is the person who knows where the other ones don't. Okay. The rule giver has a card which tells them their rule on it, and the rule is something that pertains to a sequence of cards that will be laid out on the table. These cards have cats, tacos, pizzas, and goats on them. And
you guess what company made this game?
Yeah. They also have numbers and colors. Numbers 1 through 6, colors gold, blue, and...
So three metrics,
yes.
Basically, for each card. Yeah.
Right. And so you'll have a secret rule, such as must have the same character or number as the previous card, cards must have 3 or more characters, cards cannot be blue, etc., etc. A secret rule. The other players do not know the rule and are trying to figure it out, but more importantly, they're trying to get rid of the 7 cards in their hand. So every turn, they can either play a card to the sequence, and if the card fits the rule, it stays, otherwise it goes back to their hand. Mm-hmm. They can choose to play multiple cards to the sequence, in which case, if they're right, all the cards stay, but if they're wrong, they all go back, and they don't get to know which ones were responsible for
it. And maybe it was all of them? Maybe it was one of them.
Right. Yep. So it is risky to play multiple cards. And their third option is if they don't think they have anything in their hand or are just kind of giving up on guessing, they can show their hand to the rule giver. And if none of their cards fit the rule, they get to discard their hand and draw a new hand of 1 less card. So you can trade in 7 cards for 6. But if there is a card in their hand that would fit the sequence, the rule giver will place 1 such card in the sequence and they'll get 1 to replace it. So in that case, they don't remove any.
They find cards. Information, but not actually making progress.
Right. And of course, everybody gets that information, so it's not
right.
That great. Now, the objective is to get rid of all 7 cards in your hand, at which point you are given 3 rule cards, mm-hmm. one of which is the actual rule, and you have to identify which one is the rule. In practice, this is not that hard. You can look at the sequence of cards that's been built up to that point. It feels a little bit like a formality, but technically, if they fail to guess, then it's the next person's turn to guess. So in a sense, most of the game is just competing over turn order at the end. But that's basically the game. So you look at the sequence, you try to look for secret patterns in the sequence, and once you identify those patterns, you use them to dump your hand as quickly as possible. And that is, I Know You Don't.
Yeah. It's very fun.
We played 6 times.
Yeah.
Which was more than we originally planned.
And so. I think more than we've played any other game on the show so far.
Possibly.
Yes. Before the show, at least.
The games are pretty quick.
Yeah, like 10 minutes or so at most.
And
yeah. The worse you are at guessing, or the harder the pattern is, then it might take a while. But yeah, that is the really fun part about it, is looking at this line and trying to figure out, okay,
what's the pattern?
The pattern. And it is helpful to like look at a few of the clue cards to know.
Yes.
Like, oh, what's the possibilities here?
Yeah.
But some of them are like, whoa, if we had that would take us forever. It's like the third card, every third card must be a goat.
Yeah, I love
and
that one.
Here you are like looking at all these things and it's like.
Like numbers and.
Yeah. It's just funny because as the knower also, like, it's very fun to,
To know.
To know.
To, yeah.
When they don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of clever. I think The rule giver in this game doesn't really get to play, or in the sense that they're
not competing.
Right, they're not competing.
Yeah,
they're not making that many choices. I guess when someone turns in a hand, they have the choice of which card to put out, but they don't really have an incentive to do anything one way or another. They're just kind of a moderator for the game. But I think the title of the game, I Know You Don't, is kind of framing the game in such a way as to paint the rule giver's role in the best light possible, right? It's like saying, okay, if you're the rule giver, you get to be smug about knowing what the secret rule is when everybody else doesn't, which is kind of the fun of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think the title of the game does a really good job of setting expectations so that rule givers aren't disappointed that they're not doing that much.
You know, and honestly, the first time I was the rule giver or the rule knower,
I think they say rule giver in the book.
I was like, oh man, you guys are going to have a hard time with this one. I want to like give you hints and clues. The second time I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it so you cannot guess this. Yeah. If I ever have an option, I'm going to just throw you off the path.
Yeah. So like our logical induction series, obviously Zendo was like this and, Visitor in Blackwood Grove.
Nice.
Which I thought was one of the most fun parts of that game was...
That episode two? I don't remember.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, but the being able to choose which thing to... Or what clue or what the rules are, I guess, feels really fun and powerful. And like your goal, I feel like when you have a choice... is to make it as fun as possible for the people playing, kind of. It's almost like you're the...
Dungeon Master.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's just fun to be in the know.
Yeah.
Shockingly fun to be in the know.
Well, especially when it can rotate to everyone. It's not just one person always being the know-it-all. Everyone gets a chance.
I felt like this game improves on Zendo.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's... And I don't know... How exactly? I mean, you have the extra element of the sequence to add some more things to reason about. And you have the card chatting, I think, helps a lot.
It gamifies it a little bit more, too, in my mind.
And it makes progress very visible.
Yeah.
Like, in Zendo, progress is, okay, I guess you're accumulating stones, but you also have to spend those stones.
Right.
And... You don't really know how well you're doing until you've won. Whereas in this game, you know, the number of cards in your hand is a very clear indicator of how
and
well you're doing.
Where everyone else is too, so you can very clearly see how everyone is faring at this one prompt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. How about the thing that I did like that I sort of wish there was more of, but was the idea of like playing multiple cards at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
That was fun. And especially at the very end, once Trevor figured out the pattern, I think both of you guys figured it out about the same time, but
I lucked out with my hand.
Lucked out with his hand that just worked, and I think he played five cards at
five
once.
Five cards
to
at
win.
Once. Out of seven.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the only thing that sometimes felt a little bad when it's like, oh, I know that I can't win because I just have too many cards that don't actually fit the pattern.
Yep.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
But then, you know, also, then it's over. And then it's done.
Then
and, like,
over.
You're not, like, just sitting and stewing in it. Like, unless you're both going back and forth, like you and Ananda were. It's like, I don't know. Do I have it? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Or do I have it? No. Okay. Do I have it? No. So it's just like we were just going down to one. It's like that also was less engaging. But also, I know that was a tougher rule to figure out.
The playing multiple cards thing, I think, is very interesting because it's a push-your-luck mechanic, kind of, except it's not entirely luck because it's also based on your knowledge.
It's an educated wish.
Right. Sort of push your skill, push your knowledge. And it reminds me, actually, a little bit of the Memory Game series, because one of the things that I realized, I don't remember if it was during that or after that, is that in Memory Game, push your luck works very well with Memory Games, specifically because it's not all luck, it's also how well do you remember or how well do you think you remember where things are. And I think this is a similar case of that. You have push your luck, but it's also, you know, how well are you succeeding at this task? So you're mixing luck with skill, so sort of push your skill type thing, which I think works better than push your luck alone, because you're not just hoping that things will turn out right. You know, you have sort of, or you have assumptions about how they will turn out based on your evaluation of your own skill.
Sure.
Or what you've figured out. And I think that might be, I might make that my takeaway, which is sort of a generalization of this idea that was originally just push your memory. But I think in any game where you have some skill, generally in board games, it's going to be a mental skill like memory or logical analysis, induction or some analytical skill. You have a great opportunity to introduce push your luck in a way that's testing not just like luck in the sense of rolling dice or drawing cards, but pushing your skill.
Yeah,
pushing your knowledge.
I like pushing your skill better than pushing your luck.
Yeah,
because like pushing your luck always implies like, oh, can you roll another seven?
Right.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's not really a skill thing.
Yeah.
Unless I'm cheating.
Right. Whereas when you're pushing a skill like memory or logical induction, you might fail. But if you fail, it's just because you misjudged your own skill, not because you rolled bad.
Yeah, and if you're like counting cards, but not really, just like trying to judge like how many of these are there still in the deck? Should I do another draw? Should I do another pull?
Yeah.
That's a little bit more blackjacky, but it gets really interesting when you're actually challenging a skill as opposed to just challenging randomness.
So I think push your luck works really well when you have some skill you're testing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the push your skill thing, I remember playing a prototype, and if you are this designer, reach out sometime, because I don't know how I would ever find you again, but at a Protospiel, I was playing a game that was like, I think it was about like nuclear radioactivity, that you were trying to like, you had to make a stack of cubes and using a tweezer. And it wasn't purely a stacking game, but that was one of the main mechanics, was like, in order to do this action, you had to stack another cube on and make sure the tower doesn't fall to be able to do that. So you're like, pushing your physical skill a certain number of actions.
It's a dexterity check for you as a person.
So it's like you can do as many actions as you like, but at some point the tower might fall over.
Something like that. And, that's it was so good. Rotating around too. So multiple players were stacking.
On the same tower?
Yeah.
Oh.
On the same tower. So I always thought that was cool.
A little bit like Jenga, but going up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is pretty
push
cool.
Your skill.
Push your skill.
Yeah, you're right. It fits well with dexterity too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And anything where there's a skill, you can work push that skill into it somehow, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Push your skill. So just to make sure I don't forget what mine is while it's on the tip of my tongue. My takeaway is that for games like this, especially that are card games, card shedding games. I really like there being three metrics in this game for each card, or three characteristics. I think that's a really good number. It keeps it like a little heavier than just, being a club and a seven. They technically, a deck of playing cards has three characteristics, but one is just like, a black card or a red card, and then the actual suit itself. But I don't really consider that necessarily. I like there being very distinctly a background, a character type, and then a number. I think that's a really nice combination.
Yeah, and along with that, having each of those characteristics has different numbers of things within them. So there's three colors, there's four characters/foods.
And six numbers.
Six numbers.
Yeah.
So that's always nice to have those offset.
Not all mirrored.
Yeah, and if nothing else for creating rules, then you have a little more variety in how you arrange those.
I would be curious about a fourth characteristic. It'd be like, that'd be fun to see this game with four, but it could get real crazy then and probably just make people's brains explode.
Yeah. And they're also missing the fifth food.
Right.
Cheese.
Right. Cheese.
So yeah.
Taco, cat, goat, pizza.
Yep. So yeah. If you haven't played that game, Taco, cat, goat, cheese, pizza, it is totally different, but it's by the same people, and
maybe this is just how they theme their games.
Yeah, it's smart. That's just like a kind of speed game where you're flipping out cards and yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, that reminds me, there is one thing that I do want to talk about.
This component takeaway.
So, okay. There is something in the physical box for this game that I haven't seen before, but that is absolutely awesome. The game has two different sizes of cards, small cards and large cards. There are compartments for the small cards, which have the rules on them, in the sense of the rules that you use to determine the pattern.
Right.
And these compartments have this tiny little cardboard tab that goes over the cards, just over the edge of the cards just a little bit. And this keeps the cards from sliding around. I think of my game, I have a copy of Innovation. It's an older copy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's got two compartments for cards. And it's very obnoxious because the cards slide over the divider between them and then they get all messed
up. And then they build it up and then they slide more. And
this solves that problem perfectly. So I don't know why more games don't have this, but it is a brilliant piece of packaging.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
And well, since we're talking about the package, this is another thing I've been thinking about is hang tabs. I've learned working at Asmodee, often mass market games will do better if they have a hang tab, so you can hang them on next to all the other Unos and things like that. But they're kind of annoying to have on a box. Like some of those hang tab boxes just like never close right. But this is, there's like a new technology, it seems like, where it's a cardboard hang tab that's connected to the insert of the box so that you can actually just like kind of nicely cut it off. In fact, the game Dunup, which I mentioned in the last episode, also had that, and they have a little scissors icon to show you where to cut this off so that your game looks better after you buy it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
and maybe it fits on shelves a little bit better too.
Yeah.
So it's not got that little hanging tab out there.
But I feel like I need a takeaway so that 2/3 of our takeaways aren't about the box. No.
The box is really great, guys. Just to be clear.
No, but I think, what is my takeaway? I'll make it about the reusing Taco Cat goats and pizza in a totally different game. I think that's a kind of oddball takeaway for me. But just like the marketing scheme of it, where it's like, oh, okay, well, I have this game.
Well, and
it makes me think of that other
game.
Cute
art.
Yeah.
Solid branding.
Yeah. Solid branding. And honestly, having it not be, you know, this more geometric shape like a club, spade, etc., and having it be a character or type of thing that exists, then you can call on that with the rules, which is great for this game. Like, you know, and then maybe not the laser pointer one, which play cards that would be attracted to a laser pointer or something like that.
Yeah, which basically just means cat.
Yeah, which is just cat.
Sort of a theme.
Because like, goats are not really into laser pointers, I guess. I can't verify that, unfortunately. Yeah. but how would you guess the laser pointer, too? That would be really funny to like.
I mean, you would just guess the cat.
Yeah. And it also says cat in parentheses underneath it.
Yeah,
so
it's theme.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, here's a challenge for designers out there. I just thought about, you know, when we were talking about the different characteristics and what would it be like to have more characteristics. You could design this with a deck of set cards.
Maybe. I was just thinking that.
Well,
yeah.
Because you said diamonds, and I was like, set.
I thought of set because you said four different characteristics.
Yeah.
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 Which is how many set has.
So there we go. But each of those characteristics has the same number of...
They have three variants.
Three variants. Yeah. So maybe it would be not that much different.
I don't know. That one has... Yeah.
If you're out there and want to do that, make some rules for set and see if it is too crazy or not.
And then does it look like a bean? No. Okay. Does it look like a squiggle?
Yep.
Sweet.
Well, cool.
Here we are.
That is I Know, You Don't. And tune in next time.
Don't you know?
Don't you know for... Custom Heroes.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.